The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to California Business Connections, brought to you by the U.S. Black Chamber. From education to employment, entrepreneurship to innovation, this program is your weekly connection to the latest trends and opportunities throughout the state of California. Your host, Carl Davis Jr., talks to the rock stars of this great state and offers you engaging interviews and insights from local, regional, and internationally acclaimed entrepreneurs, along with business and community leaders to help you stay connected. Now, here's your host, Carl Davis Jr.
Hi, I'm Carl Davis Jr., and welcome to California Business Connection. I'm your host, but I'm also the National Navigator Program Manager for the U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce. The U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce helps all small businesses through helping the local Black Chambers of Commerce. If you want to find out your local Black Chamber of Commerce, go to blackchamber.com. Today, I have a very, very special guest today, Mr. John Templeton, he's the founder of the Journal of Black Innovation, National Black Business Month. John, that's a long kind of name, John. Tell me a little bit about it. But before we do, John, how are you doing today first?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Now that I have you on, John, you know, I've always just admired all the work you've done. And sort of like you've been like this black historian for us for so long that I'm so excited to talk about much of the stuff that I believe a lot of people listening to the show are going to save this and listen to it again and get, and share some information. John, that name, the Journal of Black Innovation, National Black Business Month, why is that all together in one title?
Well, because part of the importance of August is for us to own our own data. So We created the Journal of Black Innovation out of the 50 most important African Americans in technology that Roy Clay and Frank Green encouraged me to do back in 1998. And we have been finding what we call the overlooked overachievers. And in 2004, we extended it to all Black businesses and started doing a State of Black Business report. And the importance of creating our own source of data, deciding for ourselves who's important, who's making a difference in our community, has been very important. So the first thing that we ask people to do is to sign up for the Journal of Black Innovation and for our State of Black Business report so that they will have the data that will allow them to be effective advocates in not only their own business, but in their own community. And when I was the opening speaker for the U.S. Black Chambers a couple weeks ago, I gave several examples of how we've been able to make a big difference because we generated data that was specific to our needs. One that people will be familiar with in California is that back in 2019, Matt Thomas, who was the president of San Francisco African American Chamber at the time, asked me to intervene when they tried to do a project labor agreement that would have shut Black businesses out of city contracts. And so we were able to find the Black contractors in San Francisco, and we started having a meeting every Wednesday at a Black restaurant. And through finding out what they were experiencing, I was able to work with Eva Patterson and Fred Jordan, and we went to the legislature, and we were able to get the legislature to vote 2/3 to create a referendum to overturn Prop 209. So that's an example, but also nationally, we did an analysis in 2020 of the PPP program and found that only 1,000 of the money was going to African-American businesses. So after the election, there was a change to direct lending through the SBA, and we went from $550 million to black businesses to $16 billion. So we had a 30-fold increase just because we were looking at the data in a specific way. So I really want to emphasize during August that it's a time for people to study, but it's a time for people to study the data that's been created for our benefit so that we can channel our political power into economic power. I mean, if Karen Bass wins in Los Angeles, the top four cities in the country will have African-American mayors. You know, Wes Moore just won the primary in Maryland. Mm-hmm. Stacey Abrams is, the Democratic nominee in Georgia. So over the course of National Black Business Month, we have worked directly with state legislators to have them understand how to write legislation that directly helps our communities. And that has also given them a broader platform. So we have a lot more African-Americans running for statewide office. And so now we have 8 African-American lieutenant governors, 7 attorney generals, a bunch of other statewide offices. So, but it doesn't make a difference if they don't have the policy in place to make a difference. And so we created 10 key factors for black business success, and we've rated all 50 states for the last 19 years on what we call the Black Business Affinity Index. And so the legislators have been able to use that to improve supplier diversity programs and create direct lending programs from states and that sort of thing. And as I mentioned, in Washington, it really came to fulfillment in 2021 when a lot of the ideas that we've been talking about for years were able to be incorporated in the American Rescue Plan. And so today, Vice President Harris and Treasury Secretary Yellen were in Brooklyn, where they announced that 6 federal agencies are combining forces to make sure that the money from the American Rescue Plan and several other initiatives is targeted to communities that need it the most. And that's still a little broad, so we have a lot of competition from Native American tribes and a lot of other groups, but we'll be focusing during August on the 90 racial equity plans that federal agencies have done, and to make sure our people are in the game and do the things that are necessary to make sure that they can compete for the money that is directly targeted for them. And the point we tried to make in Washington is that it does make a difference. You know, you should go vote. And then after you vote, then you need to follow up with your elected officials and say, okay, you got, all this money from the federal government. What are you doing with it? Because, I know that there are provisions to make sure that you spend it with the people who need it the most.
Mm-hmm. Man, John, man, that was so much. You mentioned something about people being able to sign up and be able to get some of this wonderful information you're sharing. Can you give people ways of how to sign up? And we'll talk about it this time on the first half of the show, but we'll also do it on the back half of the show. Tell people, John, how can they sign up and how can they connect with you?
Yeah, just go to blackbusinessmonth.com And right at the top is the registration form that includes the down but not out State of Black Business 19th edition, and also the monthly journal innovation. But we also have 31 Ways, 31 Days video programs every night during August. And you'll also be able to see those programs that are broken down for 31 different industries. So we take a very granular approach. I mean, there's no such thing as Black business. Mm-hmm. There are Black healthcare businesses. There are Black CPAs. There are Black lawyers. You know, and mm-hmm. so we try to correlate with the trade association so that each particular industry has a day to focus on and to shine a light. And part of my role is, because I was the first African American to be a business newspaper editor, I have the stature and the reach to get the attention of the major media. So I tell people, don't try to compete with what we're doing. Get in the fold, and I can give you more exposure than you would get on your own.
Yes. Wow. That's good.
What we're trying to do, we're trying to make sure that it's on CNBC and Bloomberg and places like that, where decisions are made that affect billions of dollars, because we can't operate 41 million nation with chicken feet. We gotta scale up to be.
Man, John, man, you also said earlier when we were on our talking before, you said that people can reach you at johnwilliamtempleton.com. So that's John William Templeton, TEMPLETON. Templeton.com. Man, John, man, you gave us a mouthful, man. I'm so excited, man. I want to hear more, but I want to talk to you a little bit just quickly about, for a minute or so, about how you got started. You know, how did this idea of a Black Business Month come about? You know, I know you said something about ideas in the past, and I know you and Ron Busby have worked together, but how did that idea start?
Well, Fred Jordan and I led the campaign against Ward Connolly in 1996. And so we've kind of been sort of Batman and Robin for Black businesses throughout that period. And when he was chair of the National Black Chamber, he said, "I don't have any data." And because the Bush administration hadn't done the survey of minority businesses for several, there was no data. And so he said, "Well, you gotta do it." And I said, "Well, it can't be done because the federal government has collected data." Mm-hmm. And he said, "That's why you gotta do it." So I figured out how to go to the Social Security actuarial tables, which has to calculate every year how many self-employed there are, and how many there are by race, and how many there are by age and sex, and by state. So we actually wound up with better data than what the census was doing every 5 years. And so for the next 10 years, our annual State of Black Business report was the only way you could find out how many Black businesses there were. And so out of that report, we did the ratings for each state and basically attract, the top federal contractors, top state contractors in each state. And basically try to figure out why the efforts that people have done so far haven't borne fruit. We've basically been flat for the last 30 years, number of African-American companies that have employees. Only 24,000 business loans to African-Americans across the country, only 4,000 of more than 100,000. So there's been a lot of rhetoric about helping Black businesses, but it hasn't really borne fruit. And our position is that every other problem that Black people have gets solved by having more Black businesses and larger Black businesses.
But John, you were talking about this distribution of dollars and how, we got to get bigger businesses and people supporting those businesses. And you left off in the Black healthcare industry. Continue, John, what you were saying about that, because I know that's very important.
Sure. In fact, your successor at the Silicon Valley Black Chamber, Sam Washington and I, we teamed up in 2015 to purchase a hospital in West Contra Costa County. And in the process, we analyzed how healthcare money was spent on the African American communities, and how there was a lot of opportunity by actually taking people out of emergency rooms and uninsured care, and creating what we call a health equity center, where the whole purpose was keep people out of the hospital, making sure they took their medicine and, you know, ate properly and all that sort of thing. And so that sort of alerted me to the importance of healthcare. And I did a paper 2 years ago for UC San Francisco on the history of Black doctors in California. And I saw back in the Spanish flu epidemic, and this was before COVID hit. I mean, it was literally the week before COVID hit. But I showed how Black doctors created hospitals in California during the Spanish flu, because they didn't have, you know, there was no hospital. And so the only way Black people got treated was Black doctors created hospitals. And so, and from that realized that Black doctors were the key professionals that essentially started every Black community, not only in California, but around the country. And so, you know, then I did a second paper for UCSF on the history of Black healthcare from the Civil War. And so in the course of that, you realize that there's 400,000 African-American healthcare businesses, which is, you know, 15% of all of our businesses. And by making sure that the money to get spent on healthcare, now that we have affordable care, you know, get spent with those companies, because they are the ones that can create the jobs that our community needs.
Speaking of that, creating jobs, John, you know, and I know that when we're in Washington and we hear these numbers like, 2.5 million Black businesses, of which 2.4 million have no employees. And at one time, you know,
That's right. Yeah. And the best way to grow that is to take that nurse that's doing something on the side and make sure she gets some contracts so she can hire four or five people. There are 400,000 Black nurses. That's the only occupation where we have parity with 10% of all the nurses, right? So just helping all those nurses hire two people, you know, you're talking about almost, you know, 500,000 people.
Wow. Nurses. And, John, now when I was back in Washington with you, you know, one of the things that Ron is pushing, and you were right alongside of it too, is, you know, a lot of the data, which you were saying is so important with data, a lot of our data is sort of bundled together under this kind of category called minorities, right? And we're really trying to get more specific and intentional on spend. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I know you and Ron were really talking about that in Washington.
Well, that's why our State of Black Business report has been so important over the last 19 years, because we have been the ones to go through all that, those euphemisms, disadvantaged business enterprises, and that, and actually find out who are the Black-owned businesses. Because one of the ironies is that your more successful Black businesses don't identify as Black businesses. You know, they're more likely service, disabled, veterans, and that sort of thing. So National Black Business Month has been designed as a format that makes it profitable for them to sort of come out of the closet and have direct access to the people who are making decisions. So in our 31 Ways, 31 Days programs, we'll have somebody who's a decision maker and then somebody who's the key person in that industry. Good example. I showed folks the smartphone that was made by Freddie Figures. So a couple of years ago, we had him on with the director of the Defense Logistics Agency, largest buyer in the world, who was General Darrell Williams, who's now the president of Hampton University. And after he's listening to Freddie Figures, he said, well, maybe I need to re-examine where I buy my phone. But he didn't know that there was a black company that made smartphones. So so what we're finding is 20% of all the employees in the federal government are black. 20% of all the technical employees in the federal government are black. 20% in the military is black. You know, the director of the James Webb Space Telescope, Howard University alumnus, went to Virginia Union undergrad. So there are thousands of people who look like us who are in position to help us. And, you know, it's just a matter of connecting us together. And so it's really about doing things that actually help people get more business as opposed to just ceremonial.
You know, when you said that about the federal government, you know, I know Biden and them just came out with a new kind of initiative or what they're planning on spending. But it made me remember that story that you said that everybody was really amazed when you said the federal government got started inside of a black business. John, please share that with our listeners. I think they would love to hear that story.
Sure. Yeah, George Washington, his chef was a man named Samuel Francis, who has Francis Tavern, which is the oldest building in Manhattan. And during the Revolutionary War, Washington, you know, was headquartered there, and Samuel Francis fed him. And so when Washington became president, they actually rented Francis Tavern for the first offices of the federal government. So the Department of State and the Department of War were in Francis Tavern. And then when he moved to Philadelphia, he put Francis in charge of the White House. So for the first two terms, you know, Samuel Francis was in charge of the White House for the federal government. So as we talk about policy, we can't allow ourselves to be marginalized among a bunch of other groups. You know, we are here at the beginning of the nation. Isaac Myers, who was one of the leading black businesses immediately after the Civil War, organized, you know, the longshoremen around the country and actually bought the dry dock and shipyard in Baltimore where they worked. So he was the person who pushed for the passage of the 14th Amendment. 14th Amendment is the basis of our modern economy because it put the full faith and credit of the U.S. government behind public debt. So we need to own this country and this economy as opposed to acting as if we are outsiders. We need to, do our message from the beginning of the nation so that, you know, folks who, I mean, for instance, in 1970, there were 40,000 more black folks in San Francisco than Chinese. So we need to sort of recenter the history. And I mean, right now, minority business programs in most states, African-Americans only get 10, we're only 10% of the minority business programs.
Wow.
And so we need to say, wait a minute. We are not disadvantaged. We are part of the founders of this country, and we are specifically responsible for the laws that really drive business.
Man, John, would you believe this, John? Man, we're out of time. Well, we're out of time right now, but we want to thank our special guest, Mr. John Templeton. So until we meet again, remember, whether it's education, health, even politics or sports, it's all about business. Stay safe and stay connected. You're listening to California Business Connections.
been listening to California Business Connections with Carl Davis Jr. and brought to you by the U.S. Black Chamber. More information about today's show is available by going to the Chamber's website at blackchamber.com. That's blackchamber.com. Or call 408-509-2886. That's 408-509-2886. Copies of our podcast are available online at calaacc.net. If you would like to know more about a specific guest or make recommendations for upcoming guests and topics, email info at calaacc.net. That's info at calaacc.net. Keeping you connected. California Business Connections.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.